Welcome to the High Percentage Podcast, making people uncomfortable with game theory.
Welcome back to the High Percentage Podcast. Today we're tackling one of the most talked about analogies in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which is Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu as chess. If I sound a little bit tinny today, it's because I am using a new microphone. My regular podcast mic crapped out on me, so I'm using a lapel mic, which is not normally what people use for podcasting, but the show must go on. The High Percentage Podcast is brought to you by Keenan Cornelius's online lapel guard encyclopedia. This is a program that if you enter the code HIGHPERCENTAGE at checkout, you can get 10% off. Fantastic program, 7 hours long, 5 different lapel guards that he shows. I've been playing with this kind of off and on in the gym. I don't do as much gi, but when I do, I try to get that low lapel grip. And also, I think lapel is a good fit if you have, especially if you have kind of a progressive game. I've been getting into inverting guards and just kind of getting under people's legs because I really enjoy the leg lock game, and I'm actually a really small guy in terms of size relative to other people. So that's a good fit for my physical style. And if you like doing that kind of stuff, then I think lapel guard would be a really good fit for you. I particularly like lasso lapel guard. And that's given me a lot of good options to sort of immobilize people. And to be honest, it's helped my no-gi game as well, because I have sort of the same approach in no-gi, and it's honestly got me thinking a lot about getting under people's legs, ways I can incorporate single leg X, double leg X guard, inside Ashi, all those stuff is really cool. So Keenan is competing really in a couple days at the time that I'm recording this at the Worlds, and I am super excited to see how he does. People are saying the Worlds are going to be super exciting this year. There's a lot of great matchups, so I'm looking forward to watching that. And again, high percentage if you enter high and then the percent sign at checkout. If you buy Keenan's online lapel guard encyclopedia, you'll get 10% off. It's gotten really, really good reviews on Reddit. People say the value's there. And if you like it and it's a good fit for you, I'd love to hear from you and get your feedback. I've been really busy with High Percentage lately, and I want to share some cool things that have been going on. So for one, a couple months ago, a company called Gold BJJ reached out to me. And if you've never heard of them, you probably would recognize them if you saw some of their apparel. So they are in the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu gi apparel space. They sell gis, rash guards, and some other products like kind of defense soap, even like pre-workout protein shakes and stuff like that. But they're mainly known for gis and rash guard. And their owner, Cole, actually used to be a professional poker player. So I think some of the stuff that we talk about at High Percentage with game theory kind of appealed to him. And he has invited me to be part of their online course platform that they're launching in early July. It's called the Gold BJJ Online Academy. And I'm going to be teaching a course on game theory for beginners. And I've actually started filming it. I was filming all last week. Like I mentioned with a microphone, I'm kind of teching up, getting new software and better equipment because I really want to deliver a quality product. So for the next couple weeks, as I record these podcasts, I'm going to be giving you updates on how that's going. I'm super excited about it, to give people a product that's a little bit different than what you see on the website. And also for people that have never heard about High Percentage to discover a little bit about it. So, in that vein, I recently, just last week, was interviewed on the BJJ Brick podcast by Byron. And that is going to air maybe sometime in June. I'm recording this in late May. Had a really cool, natural conversation with him over the course of like an hour and a half. And then actually, after the interview ended, we kept talking for quite a while. Really nice guy. And we just exchanged a lot of ideas about training. And BJJ Brick, I've been listening to them for a long time. I think they're a great podcast for beginners, intermediate people, whatever. They do great interviews, but also I just really like the chemistry between the guys that host the show. So look for that in June. And then the last thing I want to mention is I stumbled upon a great podcast called BJJ Mental Models. This is by brothers Steve and Matt Kwan, and they are both Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belts. I believe one or maybe both of them trained under Rob Bernacki, who I've been kind of seeing online for a while. I know I used to see him a lot in some of the Stefan Kesting grapple arts videos. And so these two guys, Steve and Matt, they got a great podcast called BJJ Mental Models. They have sort of a companion website, and they take a really high concept approach to learning Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And the best way I could describe it is they have an entire website based around the optimal way to learn Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And I think that's a really great complement to what we do here at High Percentage, because we focus a lot on the data and on the strategies, but I usually don't go into, you know, the best way to learn things, and I certainly don't go into how to do techniques or anything like that, because there's so many people that are better at me than doing that. I like to stay in my lane, and I think that BJJ Mental Models is a good complement to that. So if you don't know about that podcast, I highly recommend you go check it out. And actually, I contacted Steve, and he wrote a guest post for the site, High Percentage. So that is going up maybe tonight or tomorrow. Probably by the time you hear this, it'll be up very soon anyways. And that was sort of an introduction post that he wrote for High Percentage, but also for everyone listening to this to get a feel for what he's all about. I think it's important in the podcasting space that we all support each other. And, you know, more jiu-jitsu is always better, as my old coach used to say. So as I was kind of browsing through the BJJ Mental Models podcast and looking at their website, it got me thinking about my own sort of frameworks that I use to think about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and what are some of the popular frameworks. And that's what kind of gave me the inspiration for this podcast. So one of the most popular frameworks that we use to think about the game of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is the chess analogy. We often compare Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu to chess. And on the surface, it makes some sense. And the reason is because they're both very complex games. And in game theory, there's something called the dominant strategy theory, which is that for a certain game, there is a strategy that is more effective than any other strategy. And if you just use that, you're going to win. So a great example is tic-tac-toe. There is a dominant strategy, which is you pick three of the four corners. And if you're able to do that, you're going to win the game because you'll put your opponent in a no-win scenario. And that's why tic-tac-toe is a children's game, because it is beatable. But a game like chess is too complex for a dominant strategy. There's too many options. And in that sense, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is a physical game that is the same thing. There is no one winning strategy. It changes over time. So in that sense, I can understand why the chess analogy makes sense. Where it falls short is that the game of chess encourages a certain kind of decision-making. And if you try to use that decision-making in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, it is not going to work. And I want to dive into why that is and why if we use chess as a mental model for BJJ, it's not going to be ideal. It could actually maybe work against us. Okay, so let's look at three fundamental aspects of chess. One, chess is a turn-based game, or in game theory, they'd call it a sequential game, which is one player moves, and then another, and then back and forth. Second thing about chess is it's a symmetric game. So both players start the exact same position, and they have the same pieces and resources available to them. And then three, chess is a game of what they call perfect information. Meaning that at any given time, I am fully aware of all of my opponent's options. I can see the entire board. I can see all of their pieces. The only limitation to me is my own mental capacity. And that's why people that play chess at a high level are extremely smart, because they are able to process not just all their opponent's current options, but all of their future options, because they have access to all this information. Okay, so those are three of the fundamental aspects of the game of chess. Now, let's talk about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which doesn't have any of those three aspects. So BJJ is not a sequential game. It's what you call a simultaneous game. Both players are acting at the same time. Second, it is not symmetrical. It's asymmetrical, meaning that different players have different pieces, because in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, players have different physical attributes, different experience levels, and they have different game plans. So they're not able to start with a clear idea of what sort of resources another player has. And that leads into the third thing, which is BJJ has incomplete information. You don't know everything about your opponents. You don't know what kind of pieces they are going to use in the game. And depending on what you can see in a match, you're not always even aware of their setup. So even if you're extremely smart, because you don't have information on your opponent, it's very difficult to predict their moves. So for all of these reasons, chess is structured in a way that it lends itself very well to decision tree thinking, which is sort of like, if this, then that. Every time my opponent does something, I have the time to stop and consider all of my possible moves, all of their possible moves as best as we can, and then make a decision on what to do. And what it does is it rewards a sort of methodical, constantly changing your strategy because it's a slower paced game, and chess games are very long. They're hundreds of moves, sometimes they last several hours or even longer. Now, if you try to use decision tree thinking in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you're going to have a number of problems. First is that Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu happens in real time, so it's very difficult to consider all of your options, all of your opponent's options, and then make a decision of the best course of action when you have that kind of time pressure on you. Not to mention that Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is a combat sport, so you're making these decisions under an extreme amount of pressure that chess players never even have to conceive of. It doesn't lend itself to methodical in-the-moment thinking. Now, there is kind of an exception to this, which is that we've all been in BJJ matches that end up moving at a much slower pace, where we're in a position maybe like the 50-50, where things are moving at a slow enough pace that the game almost feels sequential. But even if you came up with a scenario where you were just a super genius, you were able to process information at a very, very quick speed, where you could keep up with the pace of decision making that you would have in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, it still wouldn't work. And that's where the incomplete information comes in. Not only do we not know the skill set that our opponent brings, but because Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu has very short matches, we don't have the time to really intelligently figure that out, as opposed to a chess game in which there's a narrative that can sort of take place as a match unfolds. A good example of this is we've all been in the gym and had training partners that over time, we start to get a really good understanding of what their game is like. And people talk about this all the time, which is that when you know exactly what tools are in your opponent's toolbox, and they also do, matches then become much more strategic because you are able to take more of a chess mentality because you understand how to anticipate your opponent's moves because you have that experience. But when you get in a tournament, you absolutely don't have that. So how does that affect the way that we need to strategize? So scientists have studied games like these for a long, long time now, and what they've determined is that in a game where players are moving simultaneously, you cannot use decision trees to win a game or play it optimally. Instead, they use something called payoff matrices. Now, I'm not going to like lose you all here by going super deep into what those are, but essentially, in a simultaneous game like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, game theory scientists have determined that the optimal way to play is to actually choose your strategy before the game even starts, because you don't know what your opponent's strategy will be, and if the game is so complex, it's impossible to predict what your opponent's strategy will be. So you just need to pick something in the beginning and go with it. And especially in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which is a short game, you might be able to make some on-the-fly adjustments, but for the most part, when you go into a match, the strategy that you determine in the beginning, it's kind of going to work or it's not. This leads into something I'm talking about in the Gold BJJ online course, which is Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is almost kind of two distinct games. One is the game that happens in the actual match itself, and that is second-to-second quick decision-making, and a lot of it's just based on instincts and following the game plan. The second game is the deeper strategic game that we're playing every night in the gym when we choose what kind of skill sets we want to develop, what kind of player that we want to be. That's where you see most of the decision-making in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is in the training. When it comes to the actual match, it's much less about making decisions, and it's more just about executing your strategy that you've already planned before. And really, that's one of the core differences between chess and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And the reason why chess is not a good framework to look at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu if you're going to really take it that seriously, which is that in chess, your strategy evolves during the course of a match. In Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, your strategy is set before a match starts, and in the actual match, it's all about executing. This kind of reminds me of something I heard Keenan Cornelius say recently in his one of his flow grappling interviews. He was talking about when he was a colored belt and he was training with Lloyd Irvin, he almost felt like he performed better in competition because his coaches determined his strategy for him, and all he had to do was execute and, you know, find his way around the tactics in a match. But now that he's basically his own coach, he is thinking about both his long-term strategy in a match, and then he's also trying to execute at the same time. And he said that sometimes he feels like he kind of thinks too much in a match as opposed to just going out and just doing what his coaches say. So one takeaway that I took from that is, you know, go into a match with a really clear strategy of what you want and don't think about it too much. If you are constantly trying to adjust in a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu match, one, that kind of interferes with the concept of tempo and that you always need to be aggressively pursuing your own plan. But two, it leads you to a sort of paralysis, a reactionary loop that, you know, your opponent is implementing their own plan and you're spending a lot of time making considerations instead of just moving and just going. And I don't know about you guys, but personally, like, I have noticed I cannot think fast enough to, you know, make those kind of big decisions real time. I need to do it beforehand because I'm not a supercomputer, and I'm sure you guys aren't either. Last thing I'll say about this is don't overthink it too much. Of course, I host the Game Theory podcast, so I have to eventually tackle the subject of chess and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. But I understand most people use it just as an analogy and it's harmless. The last thing I do is like interrupt people at the gym and just be like, well, you know, actually they're really different in terms of game theory. Like, don't do that. You're not going to make any friends. Just let me do it for you. I already don't have any friends, so it's easy. I normally try not to do like two game theory shows in a row. I try to alternate it with data shows. But something that I want to do in the future is I read a great article about why people that are really smart choke under pressure because they kind of overprocess things. And there's some really interesting data to support that. And I think that's something that we sometimes have problems with in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which is we notice that, you know, people that are really, they intellectualize things. When the pressure's on, it's harder for them to perform than people that they don't think about it too much. They're just like really talented athletes and they just go out there and crush and destroy. And in that sense, maybe they're the smart ones, but I'll leave that one for another show.
That's all for this podcast. If you want to check out all the articles that we published over on the website, you can go to highpercentagemartialarts.com. If you want to get in contact with us, I'm at highpercentagemartialarts@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page where we update with all of our articles, our podcasts, and I even do a Facebook Live once a week where we watch tournaments and matches in real time and do some of the data recording so you can get a little insight into our process. I should mention that if you want to keep track with other projects that I'm involved in, I'm the managing editor of a great website called ujujitsu.com. I write articles on there, and also I help corral the other writers. We try to put out quality content every week. And I've also written a book called The True Believers. It's available on Amazon. You can just Google The True Believers, Lewis Martin. It's kind of a biography of my early martial arts training in Monterey. Check that out. Thank you for listening to this, and we'll see you next week on the High Percentage Podcast.